change the culture, the mindset, the expectation level, and improve the brand of Indiana Hoosier football.
Oh boy. Oh my.
They needed to win, Brad. The Hoosiers, I'm talking about.
They needed to make a statement. And that's what they needed.
They did need to make a statement. And oh boy, did they make a statement.
66-0, your final in Bloomington. First shout out of the year, by the way. Shout out Brian Haynes. Helmet sticker.
That's crazy.
Boom.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I only give, unlike Keyser, I only give helmet stickers for shout-outs to coaches.
That's fair. It was an obliteration. You want to talk about a rivalry game statement, which Indiana had to make to solidify its position in the college football playoff, which I didn't believe really was ever in doubt as long as they won the game. But, yeah, you want to make a statement. Yeah, go out and win by 66.
Yeah.
Have your largest conference victory, margin of victory in conference in program
ever.
History.
Big Ten.
Go do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in most mediocre, fraudulent teams, even if they're, like, you know, having a good year, like 8 wins, 9 wins, like, you go into a rivalry game, records are out the window in a snow game. You can expect that to be a little frisky. I don't care if you're playing a 1-10 team. Like, that's another Big Ten team out there with Big Ten recruits. And
yeah, maybe you happen to...
And they were able to just smack them. That's all I was going to say.
I was going to say, maybe you happen to play on a Friday night and you end up in 8 overtimes against a team you're supposed to be significantly better than. Maybe that happens.
That wasn't even a snowy game. Can't wait for these SEC teams to have to go to Ohio State and Penn State to in the first round. Or maybe even in Oregon in the first round.
Does Ohio State get to host? I don't think so.
Host a playoff game? I think they will. We'll get to it later.
Because there's not really a ton of smoke. Like, Indiana kicked the shit out of Purdue. Like, we'll get into a little bit more deeper, I guess, game recap, but it was senior day, and
we have some seniors to shout out as a player. Yeah, first say, the list, pod, we gotta shout out the seniors.
The list of seniors is extensive, and obviously they're gonna have to hop into the portal to replace a lot of these guys. But yeah, it's these guys all deserve their flowers because they're all a huge, huge, huge part of building the machine that has become Kurt Cignetti's Indiana football. So huge shout out to all these guys. But yeah, Brad listed them all out, and it's like...
It's 25 scholarship guys. I want to give a quick shout out, though, to 4 walk-on seniors that played their final game in Hoosiers. Walk-ons are very important. Obviously, they may not, you know, when I give my game previews and things like, or my roster previews, I don't highlight them as much unless they're, you know, going to be playing significant time, like an Andrew Turby, who I didn't even preview because I didn't know the extent of Andrew. I didn't respect your game, Andrew Turby. I didn't know your game. But we have 4 walk-ons that need to give quick shout-outs to. Eli Jockum, wide receiver out of Gibsonia, Pennsylvania. Camden Jordan, another walk-on receiver. Number 12, Roman Pearsall, a quarterback, walk-on from New Jersey, North Carolina A&T, and Darren McCulley, number 14, walk-on receiver from Lawrence North High School, brother of Donovan McCulley, who has become a critic. I'll just leave it at that. A critic of Indiana. But yeah, quick shout out to those guys. Walk-ons are very important for the lifeblood of the program. The harder they work, the better the program grows, because if there's a theme in football, it's you're only as strong as your weakest link. So it's important for those walk-ons to be able to develop, and it's a very big sign in terms of your program's development capabilities to have walk-ons be able to potentially be able to play down the line. And having those guys, get their time in the shine, getting shout-outs on senior day, very important, but I'm not going to gloss over them at all. I didn't list them in my list because I was trying to figure out who's staying, who's going, like, what is it looking like next year? As we can, obviously we still have a full postseason to play, but at the end of the regular season, I think it's a time to maybe we can allude to what the roster could look like next year. So I'm going to go down the list in terms of, who were the seniors and what have they contributed to this team? And then I'll play a little bit of a game like, what does the future hold for these guys? What are they going to do? What's
Well, real
next?
quick, I do want to echo your sentiment on the importance of walk-ons and what they, not that like we know exactly what they're doing behind the scenes every day, but
Scout team.
obviously they play an integ yeah, they're playing an integral part of what's going on there and the engine that's being built. And so their contributions are not going unnoticed.
100%. Very important. Scout team is very, very important. In terms of your preparation week in and week out, walk-ons are a big part of that. First on the list, I'm going in numerical descending order. So I'm going to start with number 99, James Carpenter, 6'2", 280 pounds out of Roanoke, Virginia. He's our starting defensive tackle. A transfer from James Madison. He's a one and done here at Indiana. But man, did this guy show out this year?
At one point, he had more rushing yards than the entire Purdue team.
He had more rushing yards than the entire Purdue team this year.
Not this year in the game. No, I think he had 16
This
and
year.
I think
Yeah,
he had 16 and they
not
had
this
18.
year.
It was in the Edward Coton video, and he does a phenomenal job every single week with those. This week was again unbelievable. But yeah, he had a rush yard counter in the bottom left of the video. So if you watch the video and missed that or saw it and just need to see it again, so I'm gonna watch it again. But it was yeah. It was a beatdown.
Carpenter so far this year has 30 tackles, 8.5 tackles for loss, and 4 sacks. On top of that, 4 QB hits. He's been
That
phenomenal
dude
this
sets the
year.
tone.
He's going to be all league this year in some capacity. I don't know if they do first, second, honorable mention. He'll get something in terms of the Big Ten this year.
Listen, we're talking about Indiana, and I can't believe it. Neither of us have mentioned it, but maybe that just goes to show you how, like, maybe we've embodied a little bit more of the Cignetti attitude. Indiana finished second in the Big Ten.
Tied for second. But yeah.
Indiana finished second
He
in the
called
Big
it. He
Ten.
called his shot. And we'll go over, what the impact is of, not playing in the Big Ten title game and what that means. And honestly, could be a good thing considering we're a lock for the postseason. It's
Cruton.
recruiting. Recruiting. But we're keeping it on the seniors. So
Always,
James.
always be
Yeah,
Cruton.
always be Cruton. And we gotta find more James Carpenters out there in the portal. When it comes to James Carpenter, what does the future hold for him?
I really do think he could be league. I do,
Yeah,
if he wants it.
I agree. I think this guy could be anywhere from a day three draft pick to an undrafted free agent, is kind of what I would project him to be as. We'll see where all the scouts lie on that. I imagine he gets a Senior Bowl invite some capacity, so we'll see what work he's able to do in those camps. It'll
The
be
Senior Bowl is
exciting.
going to look a lot like an Indiana practice.
It's gonna be it's gonna, there's gonna be a lot of these guys invited to Senior Bowls, and it's
It's
gonna
gonna be like, holy cow, like, have you guys done this before? It's like, yeah, maybe once or twice.
yeah, perfect. And yeah, shout out James Carpenter. We got a long list to get through, so we gotta kind of run through these a little bit, but glad we started with James Carpenter, with Carp, because he integral part to this team. Season's not over. This team plans on playing 16 to 17 total games this year. That's what they said. The beginning of the year, they played 12. 17 is impossible at this point, but they could play 16 games. It's possible. It is possible to play 16 games for this team this year. Next on the list, number 94, James Evans, a 6'1 punter out of Auckland, New Zealand. We talked about that Ohio State game. Yeah, he dropped the ball. At the end of the day, James Evans is a great punter, and he's probably going to get a Senior Bowl invite as well. He's probably another one of those guys. He's got a boomer of a leg. He's Australian. The league loves those types of players, and he's gonna get his shot, and his pro day is going to be very important for him in terms of his future, getting on a team. Not great tape from Ohio State, but all the other games, not a whole lot of tape this year in general. He's had a lot of tape the last 3 years, though, with those Walt Bell offenses and those Nick Sheridan
Yeah, and he's got a
offenses.
lot of production too.
100%.
Yeah, no, I think he's gonna be a league as well. If you're looking for a punter, like exactly like you said, guy with a big leg, unshakable. You saw some of the, or not, I was gonna say some of them, but the one he hit against Purdue like early in the game when they had to punt. Like that was, I mean, I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't gonna say I was nervous, but I was like, okay, cool. How does he handle this? Big environment, snow. He hit the shit out of it.
Yeah, he's the man. He averaged only 44 yards, which in this day and age with special teamers isn't on the high end. You look for that 46 to 50 range when it comes to punting. I'm really refreshing my punters because my boy George, shout out George Karatan, former punter at Michigan, Arkansas, UConn, one of my best buddies. He was giving me the whole scoop on, where special teams is at these days. 44 is not a great number. However, he did have 10 kicks inside the 20, as well as 8 50 plus bombs this year out of his 30 punts, which is pretty good. So definitely a boom or bust type punting season for him, but yeah, I'd say, definitely in the running to maybe, not gonna say he's not gonna make
Listen,
a team, but he's definitely gonna get a shot.
I think water finds its level eventually, and when you have as few opportunities to do the thing as Evans did this year, and then your worst moment happens on the biggest stage, obviously it puts a little bit of a black eye on your campaign. But the dude was what, all league for 3 years?
Yeah, he only averaged 2.5 punts a game this year.
That's nothing.
Yeah, he punted
They
like
were Indiana's
10 of
bottom
those punts
10.
happened against Michigan.
Yeah, I was about to say, they had more punts in those two games, Michigan and Ohio State, than they have all year.
100%. So shout out James Evans. Thank you for your service. A 4-year Indiana guy. Love to see it. Next on the list, number 77, Tyler Stevens. A James Madison transfer. He filled in for an injured Drew Evans at the he's our new starting left guard. A James Madison transfer, and he's filled in quite nicely. Obviously didn't have the best game against Ohio State. No one did. Not going to put all the blame on him. He's had a great, year for us in terms of being able to fill in short notice, providing O-line depth for the team. Shout out Tyler Stevens. What does the future hold for Tyler Stevens? I'm not gonna. He didn't start the season as our starter. It's gonna be hard as a college guard. It's really hard to make your way onto an NFL roster. A lot of college tackles just end up being guards in the NFL. It's kind of how it works. So if he can maybe make his way as a center, which is gonna be tough competition because we have another center that's going to be draft eligible, it's gonna be tough for him. But a great career and. Yeah, what are your thoughts on Tyler Stevens?
I don't know if we ultimately, well, we'll see, I guess, what happens over the next couple of weeks, but I don't know if we're going to end up seeing enough of him for me to be able to make that call. But like kind of like you said, you got to be pretty extraordinary at that position to like it's yeah, it's it'll be a little bit tough for him, but obviously like you said, filled in admirably. I can't even speak today.
Admirably.
And yeah, he's been
Word of the
awesome for
day.
Indiana. He was great for James Madison. By all accounts, seems like a great kid, and yeah, great career, like you said.
Great career.
I'm not gonna tell you he can't. I just haven't seen enough of him.
100%.
Seen a lot of this next guy.
Next on the
Actually,
list,
wait.
our starting right
I jumped the
tackle,
gun.
Trey Wettig. A Wisconsin transfer, another one and done from Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Love that name. I gave that, Oconomowoc. I had a girl from Oconomowoc. Made the same joke. Love that name. She made me have to pronounce it. I nailed it on Hinge. Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. Anyways, shout out Trey Weddick. He's been our starting right tackle. Coming in from Wisconsin, one of those potential overproduction guys that we brought in, was able to really step in and step up. Big sign for our O-line development is that Trey Weddick was able to have a great year for Indiana.
I think production over potential, yes, but also you have a guy in Bob Bostead who spent how long on the same, on that Wisconsin staff working around Weddick, so he kind of, not that they knew what they were getting, but it was a little, it's a little bit more of like a, or less of a dart throw. Like, we just looked at the stats, watched a couple games. Like, no, no. They, like, Bostead spent some significant time with the kid, I would assume.
At 6'7", 320 pounds, I'm projecting him as an undrafted free agent. He's probably going to get a Senior Bowl invite, another one. There's going to be a lot of guys that get that.
Yeah, listen, yeah, they played well enough this season, the line as a whole, Indiana did, for them to justify getting looks. So it's like what they do with these opportunities for a lot of these guys is going to justify or dictate what they end up doing. But I think for pretty much everybody on this list, they all more than earned a shot. How can you not say that after the season they had? Every single major publication, like projection that wasn't semi-associated with Indiana in a slight way, projected them to be the worst team in the conference, or one of them. They said none of these dudes could play at this level, and not only did they play at this level, they embarrassed a lot of these Power 5 teams. To the point where they were like, oh, did the entire Power 5 suck, or were these guys just good? Like, yeah, I think they were pretty damn good. I think a lot of these guys could play at the next level.
100%. That brings me into a very interesting scenario that we have when it comes to Mike Kadick.
This is what I was going to say. We've seen a lot of this guy.
This is one of the most, I would say this is the most important senior of this group in terms of he's been there. He came in as a 2019 recruit here at Indiana, was a freshman, redshirt when we beat Purdue for the last time. He got his first tick as a redshirt freshman on that 2020 team as a starting guard with Mike Penix. He's seen it all with this team. He's seen the ups, started with ups in his career, and then went down, and now we're back up. And he said in his Big Ten Network, you know, special that he was able to get, I wanted to leave Indiana better than I found it. I don't think anyone could say that better than Mike Kadick. He definitely left this program better than he found it. An absolute culture setter. And when it comes to culture, there's a lot of guys that fall into this category, but man, we're gonna miss a guy like Mike Kadick around the locker room and just an overall good vibes guy. Number 56, 6'4", 320 out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a Yinzer.
Yeah, we love Mike Kadick. He's the man. Like, if anybody is gonna exemplify the change that Indiana had, like, went through. Especially in his, like, he saw the best of Indiana. He saw what the peak could look like. Obviously, he was on that Penix team. And then he saw, obviously, the worst of what it could look like. He saw the tail end of Tom Allen, where they kind of, I don't want to say they cut funding for him, but it was like, you kind of got to build up the, you know, there's a game to be played. And he saw kind of like the worst of what it could be, too. And then to have that guy who bleeds Indiana get to have this experience and be on this team. And honestly, I see, and you, I'm not going to step on what you have here, but like, I think actually a team's going to look at what Indiana's line did this year and look at the way that he was able to help them gel. And I do think he's getting drafted.
I agree. And Keezer alluded to it. I have him projected as a UDFA. Now, I will preface this. This is mostly just based on measurables. When it comes to the intangibles that Mike Kadick has, and when he has those interviews with pro teams, I think that's a guy that you'd want to bring into the locker room. I think he'd be one of the more highly touted undrafted free agents brought in to a team. He reminds me a lot of the Niners starting center, bringing up UCLA once again. Their starting center is Jake Brendel, who came in kind of when UCLA was shit and then was there when Jim Mora got there. And was the center all the way through that Hundley era and really left the program better than he found it and was a big culture guy for them. And now look at him. He's starting. He didn't He didn't have the measurables. He was an undersized. Like, he doesn't have. He was like 290. Doesn't have the measurables that you see from typical NFL centers. Now he's the center for, has been the center for one of the best offenses in the NFL for the past couple years. Not this year, as we're recording this during a Buffalo blowout over the Niners, but.
Yeah, this isn't an NFL podcast, but when you go to how many Super Bowls in a row, like your roster is gonna be like tired and worn down a
He
little bit.
reminds
Like
me a
it's
lot of that type of player, where it's just like, okay, yeah, he maybe doesn't have the typical measurables, but he does his damn job, and the tape's going to show it. So I have him as a UDFA. I think he could push for
and
a draft pick. Yeah.
he's athletic. And the like people are gonna clown him for the ballet background, but like that helps. And his footwork's impeccable and his communication skills and like he can get out. He's played guard. Like he can play multiple positions on the offensive line and he can snap the ball. And he's a great
I just
culture
moved him to
guy.
day three. I just upgraded him.
Good. I'm selling the good. Good. Yeah, that guy can play. If you again, if
I forgot.
it's
I
all
kind of
about
forgot about the
will.
ballet thing. I think NFL scouts are gonna love that.
That's a huge plus. They're gonna be like, yeah, tell me. They're like, he's gonna be like, I don't want to talk about it. They're gonna be like, tell me more about that because that's how I know you can move your damn feet, and that's what we need.
Exactly.
Agile big men get paid.
Can't spend enough time on Mike Kadick for what he's done for this program, but we got to move on. Another senior that participate, another O lineman that participated in senior day was Nick Kidwell, who was out for the year with injury. Now, I've seen people participate in senior day and come back, and I've also seen people that don't participate in senior day and leave, go to the draft.
Well, he also could be waiting on a medical waiver too. So if
Exactly.
you're uncertain about that and you haven't heard back, you may as well get the flowers and then get him again when you come back and play really well. Or if you don't come back, like you get a nice little send off.
We were projecting him to be our second best O lineman on this team coming into the year, over
Absolutely.
Kadick and right under Carter Smith, who also didn't participate in senior day, a guy that might be coming back. We'll note the guys that we thought might leave early that didn't participate in senior day, because there was one that's a junior that looks like he kind of officially declared for the draft by participating in senior day as a junior. We'll get to him a little later, but. Yeah, enough on Nick Kidwell because he might be coming back next year. We don't know.
We don't know. And speedy recovery, obviously, first and foremost.
100%. Next on the list, number 45, Trey Walker, a big part of the Indiana offense the past 2 years. Didn't really get much tick this year. Former walk-on, earned his scholarship, completely justified. And like we were talking about walk-ons earlier, like this is a guy. To where you look at a program and you're able to get playing time as a walk-on, really shows the dedication. Now, he wasn't on the great teams, and it really shows that, he wasn't able to get tick this year, mostly due to the next guy that we're going to be talking about, who's also a senior. But I just want to give a quick shout out to Trey Walker for his service as a, Indiana guy for how many years, coming in as a UMass transfer. Actually, no, he was a straight up Indiana walk-on the whole way. I don't know why I thought he was from UMass.
Yeah, shout out Trey Walker.
Which brings us to our next tight end, Zach Horton, number 44, Dallas Clark clone himself, from.
He's gonna be all conference. It's just which how much does do the whoever votes for that respect the ability to block? 'Cause he was phenomenal. He's gonna be again another like somebody's gonna take if you like somebody's gonna take him in the draft and just like fall in love.
Literally.
Obviously, size probably his biggest like weak point, but that doesn't mean you can't play. Like the dude's really good at football, and ultimately at the end of the day, like being good at football is the best translator.
Exactly, especially from what we're seeing in this day and age when it comes to evaluation. Like, it really is production over potential. Like, everyone's good, so you got to be good now. It's not about, like, are you going to be good later? And yeah, he's not some 6'6", like, super lengthy, like, tight end that you typically see coming in the NFL, but you watch the tape, every coach loves him. Every coach, Urban Meyer,
Urban
Nick
Meyer can't
Saban,
stop talking about him.
both those guys, Urban and Nick Saban, couldn't stop talking about him. So I have him at day three. We'll see if that can get, like, when I say day three,
You know
like
where it'd be fun for
probably
him?
round four for Zach Horton.
You know where it'd be fun for him?
Where? I like this.
Miami.
Oh, he'd be perfect. He's like Jonnu Smith. He's literally Jonnu Smith. He'd be the perfect
That'd be
compliment.
fun.
Yeah, I like it. Like, they love to run the ball too, so he's like the perfect for what they like to do. That's a really
He's a
good fit.
bulldog, man.
100%. On to the next, we gotta keep moving here. So many guys to go through. Number 41, Lenell Carr, our starting edge. Definitely someone we're gonna have to replace, as we have a lot of youth at that position, and we're gonna have to probably find a portal guy. We're gonna find maybe
At least.
A couple portal guys to replace that void. Him and another guy we'll talk about later. A former West Virginia transfer. He's been nails ever since he's been at Indiana. He was our best pass rusher last year. He's been our second best pass rusher this year. The emergence of one of the transfers that came in. He's been fantastic. I have him as day three to undrafted. He has 6'2", 246. Good production, but not elite production, I would say. So in that sense, you know, we're talking, you know, he day three, two undrafted for him.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there. Again, like, I think great college player, or like really, really good for what Indiana needed him to do. But when you're talking about guys to rush the passer, you either need to be a really freak athlete or you got to have that crazy production. And he's not a freak athlete and he doesn't have that crazy production. Again, that doesn't mean he can't be good. But in terms of like being drafted, like if he has a really great combine, yeah, maybe he moves up a little bit. But we're going to get to Kamara in a second. But
another one of those guys where the Senior Bowl invite that he's probably going to get is going to be big for him. And seeing what he's
100%.
Able to do in those camps up against other
like he's NFL definitely, draft again, prospects. Like a lot of the guys on this list, and I would say like everybody on this list, like he's good at football. Like his the things they're going to use against him aren't on the field related. Well, maybe, I mean, like, I'm not a coach, obviously, so like maybe there's some stuff, but like the guy's a good football player. He can play assignment football.
100%. Next, number 19, Miles Cross, coming in. What do we call him? Hercules. Hercules himself.
He's just there.
He's listed at 5'11". I just don't see it. That dude's 6'1". I don't know.
You think he's taller than that?
Oh, man. He looks huge on tape. He looks huge. He must just play bigger than he is.
He definitely plays big. He bounces right off people. Like you can't just like arm tackle that guy or swing tackle that guy. You have to bring him down. Obviously evident what he did against Purdue, where he was just bouncing off dudes.
Yeah. Like Zach Horton, he had a touchdown on senior day, which is awesome to see.
Mm-hmm.
I got him as a UDFA. That's a guy that can increase his draft stock by going in. He's probably gonna get a Senior Bowl invite as well. Probably gonna go where Rourke goes for his Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And gonna see what he can do.
Yeah, it's going to depend on how a lot of these guys run at the skill positions for where they get drafted. But again, like, Cross, another dude, like, we know he can make the acrobatic catch. You know he's not afraid to block. You know he's in the weight room. You know he's a, like, good character guy because they wouldn't have brought him in if he wasn't. Another dude who you know, can, like, you can tell him and teach him a system, even a new one, and he can learn it. Like, it's... There was a lot of positives when you're talking about a lot of these guys. So even if he doesn't get drafted, if he gets brought into a room and gets to fight for a position, like, you know he's going to have a lot of those building blocks. You're looking at a guy to be successful, like already built in there.
100%. Next on the list was one of my top five most important returning Hoosiers, who turned out to have a much lesser role than we anticipated, mostly due to the emergence of Amari Farrell and Terry Jones. Josh Sanguinetti. This is a guy that has been, just like Mike Kadich, has been there just as long, has seen it all, and he's been nothing but productive since he's been on the field for Indiana. And he's just a really good depth piece for Indiana right now at the moment, and just want to give a quick shout out. It doesn't look great in terms of his NFL standing, but he's had a fantastic career at Indiana. I think most Indiana fans, you know, when he returns to campus, will remember the name Josh Sanguinetti. Kind of a folk hero in Indiana football lore, 100%. If you will, like Mike Kadick.
100%. That's a dude who's played a lot of football for this university. Like, a lot of football.
A lot of winning football, too.
Yeah, that's a guy who, again, like you just mentioned, saw the highs, saw the lows, saw the highs again, wanted to stick around, wanted to stick it out. You haven't heard a single negative, like, there's not going to be, like, the Athletic story coming out with 10 quotes from Sanguinetti about how his playing time was handled. Like, he's just a professional. He's a pro. He's a, like, not in terms of, like, the NFL. Like, I'm not sure it's probably not in his future, but great guy to have on your football team. High quality kid, like, high character. And yeah, he was great for the university. Welcome back with open arms, obviously.
Really rooting for him to get a Senior Bowl invite and maybe a UDFA spot. We'll see. With the lack of playing time in his senior year, we'll see. But yeah, like I said, we'll see. I'm really rooting for him, though. One of my personal favorite Indiana Hoosiers.
Yeah, you can also give, like, he had the defense change on him, a little bit of a different role. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me if he ended up on a team somewhere and, like, fought his way onto a roster. Like, again, another good football player.
Not at all. He's listed 6'1", 195. He's got the build. He can play. He's a playmaker. We'll see. Solomon Van Horst, number 18, our kick returner this year. He's a senior. Another role we're going to have to replace this year, especially with Cross and, no, not Cross, Price and Key Williams, who we'll talk about later, leaving as well. So, big position battle coming up in the spring when it comes to the return game. Would have liked to see him return a little bit more kicks this year. Didn't see too much of it. Hopefully, maybe he can make a big impact in the postseason. That's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, nobody really kicked to him, which, like, it's hard to blame them, but we didn't get to see a ton of him this year. So, yeah, a little bit left to be seen. We'll see how he tests. If he pops, like, something crazy. Again, you never know.
Yeah, and then next on the list.
But a lot of the, yeah. I was about to say, a lot of the James Madison guys who didn't play, we obviously don't know a ton about.
They're definitely high character guys and great culture setters. Which brings us to 100%. Our next guy, Tyson Lawton, number 17, who wasn't in the senior day video. Weird. That's the only way. I don't know if he was in the ceremony or not. Was looking into his eligibility. This was supposed to be his fourth full year. He already used a medical waiver and a red shirt in 2020 to get eligibility for this year. So it's interesting that he wasn't in the ceremony, allegedly. He might have been. I wasn't at the game. But that's a guy that I anticipate is not on the roster next year just for eligibility reasons. But, I mean, if he's back, holy shit.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. I mean, as we speak, I'm wearing my Lottie shirt. So, it's hard for, like, I'm not, yeah, that dude's been awesome. What do you have, 10 rushing touchdowns this year, 12 rushing touchdowns? Between him and Ellison, they had 20-plus touchdowns, like, yeah, he was phenomenal this year.
Tyson Lawton has 634 yards on 4.8 yards a carry with 12 touchdowns this year.
He was explosive. He was aggressive. He was running people over. He was finishing runs. Like, he set the tone, and he was a huge part of why that run game was really successful. And he stuffed, for the most part, was great in pass pro, and. Yeah, he played 1 year for Indiana, but he was a great Hoosier.
A fantastic Hoosier, and if he's back, oh boy.
That would be crazy.
Next on the list.
Open arms.
Next on the, yeah, exactly. Next on the list, another, you know, transfer, Austin Peay, another one and done, Sedarius Doss, another one of those depth DB pieces. He's definitely had his share of tick. He's not a starter, but he's definitely been on the field making an impact. Making plays, coming in as a depth piece, bringing in, you know, kind of in that Sanguinetti kind of funk of just trying to work his way into PT.
I'm a huge fan of Doss. He just plays at 100% no matter what. Like, he got in the game last night. Or, yeah. By the way,
Tyson Lawton goes day three if he goes to the draft. So, I think he's probably gone anyways, even if he does have eligibility. So, but back to Sedarius Doss.
Doss, yeah, he came in and he's just so physical to the ball. It's so, like, I love watching him play.
And then next, number 12, Terry Jones, an Old Dominion transfer. He led his team in tackles last year. Him and Asbury were 1 and 2, and they came in and made a hell of an impact. Our starting rover for this year, he has gotten multiple helmet stickers throughout the year, 35 total tackles, 5 for loss, and a sack, a forced fumble, quarterback hit. I mean, the dude's everywhere. He's doing exactly what you look for from a rover.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. And obviously, you're talking about a couple guys who have lost out playing time. His emergence is a huge reason why. And maybe not emergence, because he was phenomenal last year too. But yeah, that's a guy who's definitely getting drafted.
100%. I have him at day 3. I'm just going to make the update right now, just so we can do the final tally at the end. And that brings us to one of my favorite Hoosiers of all time. QB1, number 9, the Maple Missile himself, Curtis Rourke.
I think he's a bona fide top 20 pick.
I have met.
I didn't stutter. I don't fret.
I know.
You're going to say day 3, day 2, whatever. That's crazy. That's crazy. He's better than Will Levis.
I'm just trying to anticipate what the scouts are thinking. You know, do I think
the scouts are going to, Brad, the scouts are going to look at this guy and go, we didn't think he could compete at this level. And then he went out and put up the season he put up.
6'5", 223 pounds. He's got all the measurables, cannon arm, can make all the throws, can throw on time. The improvisation that you need from an NFL guy, though, these days is why I'm hesitant to put him at day 1. It's just hard for me to.
He's a pocket passer, though. He doesn't. Improvisation is not his. Not what he's.
But that's
do
what
well.
Teams look
Athletic
for.
Athletic enough to get away.
No.
If you put him in a system where he can operate and make reads, he's going to be successful.
Joe Burrow-esque is what I would call Curtis Rourke.
That's not who he really reminds me of. Sig likes to slip the Phil Rivers comp in there. I'm not quite sure that's him either. He's not Brady because he's more athletic and he's not as cerebral. But he has the opportunity to be a really good NFL quarterback. Like, you see what happens when you give the guy weapons and the opportunity to distribute the ball. Like, he's going to shred you.
2,800 yards, 27 touchdowns, 4 picks, a 70% completion percentage. Those numbers, that production backs it up.
And he missed a game.
He should be at 3,000 yards about.
And he's displaying toughness. He's married, so you don't got to worry about him going out and partying. He's a family guy. Like, intangibles are absolutely there. Like, yeah, when you start stacking him up against the other quarterbacks, it's like, yeah, you want to go Cam Ward, super athletic. Like, yeah, great. Like, Ewers, I'm a huge fan of the guy, another dude, but, like, Rourke plays through injuries.
He's at
I'm
that
not going
to
say, like, he's at that level. Like, I'm not going to, like, start taking down Ewers because I like Rourke, but, like, these are the guys he's being comped to. And it's like you're going to have another draft where you have a bunch of quarterbacks go early. So it's like if you're a team sitting there and you can trade back from one of those early picks, get a haul, and take Rourke at 20, and that's your dice roll, and you have your future secured because you traded back, that's crazy. Of course you're taking that shot every time. Because if you hit on Rourke, because he's good.
I'm a Rourke believer. I think he can play in the NFL. We got to keep it moving, though. Number 8, CJ West, a Kent State transfer. Been an absolute.
All right, if you want to go speed run, yeah. He can absolutely play in the NFL.
Yeah, 100%. A Kent State transfer, 6 tackles for loss, 2 sacks, an anchor at nose guard, which 2 sacks at nose guard is pretty damn good. 6 tackles for loss at nose guard is pretty damn good, too. Nose guards aren't supposed to
phenomenal.
Do that.
He was
arguably our best defensive player.
He was the portal darling, depending on who you listen to, which analysts, which Twitter posts, whatever. Like you just said, he could have been our best, like, in people's eyes, he was our best player. A menace to deal with in the middle, and a large part, him and Carpenter, of why Indiana's defense was so stout against the run and why the linebackers look so good. Because they did a lot of that work and allowed the linebackers to just clean up. And they did.
100%. I got him at day 2.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how people value his skill set in terms of like the NFL draft. I'd have to go back and look at more comps. But yeah, he's going to be a high-quality producer for as long as he wants to be.
It's hard for me to find better nose guards in the college ranks right now than him. It's hard.
Well, he was the best remaining. Wasn't he a top 5 remaining nose guard?
In the portal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's probably better than all those guys.
Yeah.
Number 7, Jacob Mangum-Farrar, a guy that we expected to have a bigger impact on this team this year, has broken his way into the rotation as of late, making plays, doing good things. Not the same impact that we were anticipating. We're expecting him to maybe even be, you know, maybe even supplant Carr at that spot, but he just wasn't able to do it. Once again, another Hoosier that stuck around, seen the highs and lows, coming from Stanford. Stuck it out, is now reaping the benefits, is going to the playoff this year. Great career, Mangum-Farrar. I'm wishing you the best of luck in your, you know, future. Only playing 1 year at your new position, it's gonna be an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm.
Number 6, Justice Ellison, our leading rusher, 800 yards, 10 touchdowns, a Wake Forest transfer. Become one of
our first the first player to commit to Kurt Cignetti.
The first, love that. Also, the first a part of the first ever Indiana Hoosier duo to get 10 touchdowns each in a season.
Eight,
and we spread
the
wealth.
He was phenomenal.
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. I got him as day 3 guy. Day 3.
Yeah, he can play in the league too. He's got the skill set for it. He got another guy who picks up the blitz. Another guy who runs hard, catches the ball out of the backfield. Great teammate, good high character. Like, yeah, I'll sell Justice Ellison to anyone who will listen. Even if you won't listen, I'll sell the guy to you. That dude's awesome.
Same. Even if you're not listening, I'll sell him. Another number 6, the one that we alluded to earlier, a junior that participated in Senior Day, basically unofficially giving his declaration to the NFL draft, Mikhail Kamara, the nation's leader in quarterback pressures. I got him at day 1. This is going to be the guy that gets drafted in round 1 for the Hoosiers and sets the stage for recruits saying, hey, come to Indiana, we get you to the league. This is it. This is the beginning of it, and it all starts with this guy, our darling in this year's draft, Mikhail Kamara, basically declaring early, which he should do, as the nation's leader in quarterback pressures, to come back and get his shot, get his money now. Get that first round
100%. Money. Yeah, Kamara absolutely should leave now. Not that I want him to go, because I would, like, obviously, if he could just play forever, he's just going to be the best guy in the nation at getting to the quarterback. Like, yeah, never go. But no, you're absolutely right. For obviously his personal benefit, for the benefit of the program overall, like, yeah, it makes perfect sense for him to, not that you want to see your juniors going through Senior Day, but yeah, he should get the recognition for being as good as he was this year and for the career he's had. And like you said, that deserves to be recognized with a high draft capital. This dude's really good at football.
15 tackles for loss and 10 sacks for Kamara and counting this year.
He was a freak.
Unbelievable year. Number five, Keyshawn Williams, a Texas Tech transfer. I got him at day three as a slot guy. Absolute stud.
Keyshawn Williams was not a Texas Tech transfer.
Yes, he was.
Miles Price was the Texas Tech transfer.
Whoops. Yeah, Wake Forest transfer. My bad. Hand up.
Live stat correction.
Hand up. Live stat correction. Fuck. I'm already, that reminds me of another stat correction we needed to do from last episode. I'm blanking on it.
Just tell me about Keyshawn Williams.
But Keyshawn Williams, yeah.
Also scored against Purdue.
Also scored on senior day. Yeah, enough said. I got him at day three. He's going to be one of those best slots. His draft stock is really going to be determined by how he plays in those senior bowls. Senior bowl.
Yeah, and how fast he runs.
Which I imagine will be fast.
Another dude who blocks, catches the football, he's tough, good teammate, good guy to have around. Like, yeah, checks a lot of these boxes that people are going to look for when they come looking for those day three and undrafted, like, actual impact guys who could, like, be an impact on the football team even if they're not on the field initially and have the chance to continue to develop. Texas Tech transfer Miles Price.
Number four. Yeah, same. I it's really hard for me to differentiate the difference between Keyshawn Williams and Miles Price. They're very, very similar in terms of how they play and their production.
Price is
Miles
a little
Price
faster.
And Keyshawn Williams are both at about 33, 34 catches, 400 yards. Price has two touchdowns. Keyshawn Williams has five touchdowns. Both day three guys to me. I mean, at this rate, we're looking at around 14 draft picks, which probably isn't going to happen. So some of these guys will be, you know, snubbed potentially, and will be, you know, chomping at the bit to get those, you know, undrafted free agent spots. But this is a playoff team. So, like, thinking that maybe 14 of these seniors can get drafted isn't all that crazy. It might be, considering there's going to be tons of NFL talent left on this roster after senior day.
Well, here's why we may be a little aggressive, because Michigan just won the national title, and I think they just had 14 guys drafted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but most of these guys we have
so
at like
this
day
team
three,
wins
so
the
being...
national.
Yeah,
if this team wins the national title, which is definitely it's on the table.
It's on the table for these guys, 100%.
That wouldn't be like that's plausible.
And the thing is that if we do win the title, a lot of our guys that aren't on this list are going to leave. As they should. Because if you win a title, you've done your thing. Go. Go to the league. Go do it. We'll figure it out from here. We got it. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Appreciate the natty. You guys can go peace now. We're going to get some more transfers and figure it out now.
We're getting supplemental draft picks. Don't worry.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Number two, Jalen Walker. He loves football. I don't know if you've heard.
Ooh.
Dude loves football. I got him at day two as an undersized linebacker.
Good at it. Ooh,
he's gonna show out at the combine. He's gonna freak. He's gonna blow people's minds on what this dude does at the combine, and now he's put on a lot of good tape this year. That dude's going day two. I have a scout friend of mine that loves Jalen Walker. Loves him. More than Fisher.
How could you not?
Loves him.
Well, I'm not going to listen.
It's not a knock on Fisher. It's that the fact that Jalen Walker fits the mold on the modern NFL linebacker. Put 10 pounds on that guy. There's not a team he can't play for.
Yeah, freaks list, like, super athlete, knows for the football, can actually has hands for a defender. Again, loves the game of football. Clearly coachable. Like, yeah, I could spend the next 2 hours talking about how much I love watching Jalen Walker play football. And it's evident, like, he loves it. And so he plays with such a passion.
He told us. He told us he loves football. He loves football. I love football. That's what he said. Like, 10 times in
Absolutely
6 minutes.
Absolutely a
like,
guy who
in,
can get drafted.
10 times in 2 minutes
and
he
should.
Said that. And you want guys like that. Number one, Sean Asbury, starting safety this year. I have him at day three. That might be a little ambitious for him considering his size, things like that. There's no way that guy doesn't make a 90-man training camp roster, though. There's just no way. Too much production. Too good at football. Loves the sport. Great teammate. There's just no way he doesn't get his shot on. And
Too good for too long.
too good for too
He
long.
was
He's like.
he was a Boston College recruit initially, transferred down a level, dominated, transferred back up a level, still dominated. Like, again, that's a dude who's played a lot of football, put a lot of good production on film. So you can start arguing measurables. Again, a lot of that's gonna be what these guys run into, but when you start talking about production in the tape, it's like, how do you argue with that?
Yeah, he's our third leading tackler with 3.5 tackles for loss and 1.5 sacks and a pick. He's gonna get a Big Ten all conference nod. 100%. If he doesn't, it's a snub.
I agree.
And then last but certainly not least, our secret weapon, the weapon we have not released yet. Hopefully we'll make a big splash come postseason. Anderson Coby. I'm still a believer. We tried setting him up against Purdue. We overshot him a little bit. Would like to see more of that in the postseason because we got nothing to lose. We got to take some shots with Kobe, and yeah, unfinished business
100%.
because this is his final ride. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's going to go to the NFL. I don't think that's what's going to happen with him. But he has college talent, former 4-star recruit, Tennessee transfer. Duke can flat out run, and he can make a big impact play for us in the first round of the postseason. And would like to see him get involved a little bit more.
That's another dude who decided to stick around. And obviously he hasn't found his way into a ton of playing time, and he hasn't had any type of like, you haven't heard of any type of negativity out of him. In fact, people love him even more. So it's like that speaks to the type of character he operates with. And yeah, it's like I'd love to be able to connect on one of these deep throws with him. That'd be awesome. Prototypical Hoosier.
Yeah, we did good there. About 25 scholarship guys to talk through. We did it in about 50 minutes. 2 minutes each. About. That's decent. We did good because
I
honestly,
would have went for 5 hours.
could have gone for 5 hours, but CJ West is gonna get his all
You
conference
can
nod.
blame
Warwick's gonna get
you
his
can
all
blame
conference
Brad
nod.
when we didn't have enough time for somebody. You can blame Brad for
Yeah, it's on me. I didn't plan this out, but I wanted to
at
give these guys their love
Bradley
because
underscore
these
Loomis
guys
eight.
changed the program. They changed everything for us.
Fact.
And they deserve this 50-minute shout out. And if you are still listening right now, you know that they deserved all this love.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, they deserve every second of it. They deserve all the flowers they're getting on social media right now. And they deserve the fan support, even if they're not able to squeak out this home playoff game, which, like, I had a couple questions for you. If you kind of want to wrap up the senior day hoopla and move into a little bit of playoff talk, because, yeah, it's great to celebrate all these guys, but they're not leaving yet. We still got some football to play, and they're pretty much locked and loaded.
Yeah,
So,
something.
do you have anything?
Quick note. As of right now, we have 5 returning starters on offense, 5 returning starters on defense. Now, back to the present. Back to the present.
Well, hold on. Wait, yeah, I did. Okay. I do remember what I wanted to say because I saw that. Okay. There's a bunch of guys who were able to get playing time this year that are going to slot into that. So it's more like they're going to have to replace like 5 starters on each side.
And we got the portal. And we got the portal. We're gonna be fine.
Portal and freshmen, and this freshman class, the class of 2024, wasn't big, but they all get a year to develop. And there's a bunch of offensive linemen in that class, a couple of defensive linemen in that class, a couple of corners in that class,
Yeah.
and some really impact corners coming in the class of 25 that are really exciting. So the portal to supplement what they already have going on here again is like it's an exciting time to be a Hoosier.
Exciting to not see Fisher and Carter Smith and Elijah Surratt not participate in senior day activities. Those guys
Cooper,
could leave if they want. And Omar Cooper don't want to leave anyone hanging here, but
who's, oh my God, Omar Cooper's so damn good.
yeah. Quick Purdue recap.
Yeah, I was about to say, let's
Quick Purdue
talk about
recap. We
Purdue.
did win. We
God, they're
started
bad.
with it on this episode. Yeah, they stink, and they should have fired Walters after that. That is absolutely embarrassing. You shouldn't expect to lose 50-0 to your rival plus and expect to keep your job. That just can't happen. Yeah,
What
so
about
he got
four straight
fired.
times to your rival?
Huh?
What about four straight times to your rival? Sorry, continue. This
Depends
is an Indiana football
on the
podcast.
program. We'll talk about that later. My favorite part of the game was the fake punt to James Carpenter, a senior, getting him his first ever rushing. I'm gonna imagine that's his first ever carry as a 18-yard carry for Carp. I think verbatim what I said when that happened. Obviously, I was laughing, and I was just so gleeful because I was like, "Man, our coach is an absolute sociopath, and he's ours for the next 8 years, and that is perfect. He's all mine," is what I said. He is all mine, ours, whatever you want to call it. He's our coach, and he's going to run fake punts up 38 on your rival. I love it.
I saw a lot of people like LeBron James, first page of the booking. Like, I knew the fake punt was coming. I had no idea. I looked away. I was like, all right, we're going to punt, whatever. Like, our defense is suffocating them anyway. It's not like they can do anything when they have the ball. And I looked back, and there's Carpenter running down the field.
Yeah, no, it definitely took me for a surprise. It's funny because a lot of people were complaining about Ohio State running up the score and stuff last week, which was pretty daunted by a lot of Hoosier fans as well. We were saying on our podcast, because that's football. If you want to stop it, stop it. You know, it's on you. The fake kneel to get the touchdown is a little eh for me. But at the end of the
Well,
day,
yeah, and we
at the end of
saw
the day,
how
that's
that
what it
ended
is
up
what
for
it is.
them.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it is what it
Yeah,
is.
when you there's a way to do it within the confines of the game that becomes respectful, and there's a way to do it that's disrespectful, petty, and childish. And
Fake kneels for QB sneak is one of those ways.
100%. But there's like the difference between like I don't like Germany versus Brazil in the World Cup game where they beat them 7-1, right? Or 7-0, whatever it was. Like the sign of respect is to continue playing and to beat them up. Like if you stop playing and let your foot off the gas, that's you letting up. That's the sign of disrespect. That kind of makes a little bit more sense to me than like we're just gonna like we feel bad for you now, so we're gonna stop executing our offense. Like no, like. You showed up to play a football game here. We're playing a football game, and we're going to execute at a high level. Like, we have a playoff to make. Sorry you're here. That sucks for you. But this is Kurt Cignetti's Indiana football. We executed at a high level, so have fun.
What a way to set the tone for
We
this new
will.
era of this rivalry. What a way. It's clear.
We're not effing around down here, so.
Figure it out. Hire Tom Allen. Do what you need to do over there at Purdue. Figure it out.
Find
I'm
somebody.
not sure Tom Allen takes that job, by the way, even if you call him. I'm not entirely sure.
Heavens no. You know what I saw? I saw an edit of Ryan Day in a Purdue hat. I
I
thought
saw
that
that
was
too.
hilarious.
That would be a great hire for them. And we could talk about it.
Yeah.
That kind of leads us into the Big Ten recap, and it starts off with,
well, hold on, hold on,
all
hold
right,
on. There's a bunch of
final
helmet
thoughts on
stickers to
Purdue.
give
Final
out.
thoughts on Purdue. Sorry, I said
Helmet sticker, Jalen Walker, obviously.
duh.
Helmet sticker, Rourke. Helmet sticker, Surratt. Helmet sticker, the entire offensive line. Helmet stickers for the literally, but the entire team. Ellison and Lawton were phenomenal. The secondary was great.
Rourke,
Yeah.
Surratt, Walker get all my helmet stickers as well. I'm getting that helmet sticker to Bones Jones too for getting that end game sack. There we go.
Yeah, and the team, the TikTok dance, I'm not really sure what that was, but it was hilarious and they were enjoying it. It was like the vibes were super high. Memorial Stadium, I can't believe we didn't mention that. First of all, the students, the crowd was phenomenal. The atmosphere was incredible. The snow pictures, I gotta figure out where the archived photos for this game are, because holy shit, like you want to talk about photogenic. That place looked beautiful.
If
Beautiful.
you weren't already aware that the Sleeping Giant was awake, the fact that we were able to pack the stadium for Senior Day on a snow day tells you everything you need to know about where this program's at in terms of the
And the
fans.
Burner Army was out in force, and there was a lot of people who, I don't like, obviously we don't know where anybody lives, but there was a lot of people at that game.
100%. So wish I could have been there.
Yeah, the fan base is alive and well.
As an Angelino, it's hard for me to make it out to any Purdue game. It's always around Thanksgiving. I'm always back home. So we'll see. We'll see in the future. But yeah, happy people are showing.
Brad, in like one of our first episodes, we said that Indiana football fans are like volcanoes. Well, they're like the place is erupting.
It's been erupting. It's name a volcano. What's that? Mount Vesuvius. Krakatoa, right? Those are, yeah, one of those. That's
isn't
like
that
the biggest one.
Isn't
right?
that the Squidward? Like, is
yeah,
the,
but that's like the biggest one that ever happened. Apparently, it was able to be heard from 5,000 miles away, which, do the math, that could be heard across the country of the United States. So,
well, yeah, that's exactly what's
and
going
that's
on.
And that's exactly
so
what's going
that
on.
Makes
so,
sense.
Krakatoa. There we go. Krakatoa.
We need to make t-shirts. We need t-shirts.
Krakatoa.
I don't know.
I don't even know if I'm saying. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. To be honest,
it's definitely still in the workshop. But there's something with volcanoes and an Indiana football logo. I don't know. We're gonna figure it out. Somebody who's better than this than we are is gonna reach out, and we're gonna figure it out.
Yeah, Krakatoa. Yeah, 1883 erupted. Probably the biggest volcanic eruption to date.
Well, no, until Kurt Cignetti took over Indiana.
Oh, there we go. Boom. Into our Big Ten recap we go. Minnesota at Wisconsin. Minnesota was able to get the axe back 24-7. Wisconsin not going bowling this year. Don't really deserve it either. Minnesota 7-5. Excited to see what SEC team they match up with, because that could be one of those.
Conference supremacy type battle matchup things.
Yeah, give me... It's tough because, like, with the SEC being so bad, like, they're probably going to get, like, a Bama, Ole Miss, South Carolina, whichever team of those doesn't make the playoff.
No, not 7-5 Minnesota.
They're, like, fifth in the conference. I guess Michigan and Illinois, we got bids over them.
100%. Rutgers, maybe.
Minnesota over Rutgers, for sure.
Yeah.
Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Nebraska didn't shake hands with Iowa going into the game, and they lost 13-10 in a rivalry game.
That's not
I saw a lot of Nebraska fans giving them shit for that, because that is unclassy. I'd be shocked if I ever saw a Cincinnati team do that.
I have always spoken very highly of Matt Rhule. Is it time to question Matt Rhule
after that,
or is it early?
It's a little early, but after that, it's fair, because that's a culture thing. Not shaking hands. I don't know if Matt Rhule knew that was going on. I don't know what sparked that. I it's hard for me to imagine a Kirk Ferentz team was actually talking all that much shit on social media, like, to justify that happening. It's just hard for me to imagine.
You can only play for Iowa if you have a piece of corn for your phone.
Literally. And then, Washington and Oregon, we mentioned Washington walking into a buzzsaw here, especially with what happened last year. That's basically what happened. Oregon laid the hurt on a little bit, and 49-21, your final. Washington's a good team, and Oregon, everyone's like, is there a good team in college football? Oregon looks every bit of the part right now. They've looked so good since that Ohio State game. They looked so good.
Well, listen, I'd argue they look good against Ohio State, too. Like, as much shit as we give Ohio State, and we're about to give them a lot more shit in a second, but they're a good football team, and Oregon is a really good football team, and they're fast, and that's the thing that gets lost, is when all else fails, they can just run past you.
Exactly. And both these teams are now going bowling, Washington 6-6. Oregon's going to be in the playoff, win or lose the Big Ten championship game against Penn State, which kind of leads us into the game. Another 13-10 final. A much more entertaining 13-10 final. Michigan knocks off Ohio State. Matt Day has now lost four straight against their rival Michigan, which apparently is not allowed at Ohio State. Not allowed. Which is funny, because now you can't fire him. Right then and there. You have playoffs. Like, if it wasn't the 14, what's funny about the 12-team playoff now is that, like, with this type of team, like, underachieving 10-2, you can't really fire him because guess what? You're in the playoff. So you can't really fire. It wouldn't make sense to fire your coach. They can still win a national championship.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting argument. It is, there is more than a few people calling for his head. And it's like, can you justify firing a guy for losing four straight to your rival? It's like,
No, you can't justify
am I
it.
the one to, am I the one to tell those angry fans no? No. Is it funny to watch them squirm? Yes. Is it going to be funny to watch the pressure they put on specifically Day going into next season and throughout next season until they play in week what? 14? 13? What week is it in college football? I don't even know. Like, this could be hilarious. But no, you can't fire the guy right now. That'd be insane. Look, first of all, and as much as I don't like the guy, I think he's a little pompous. And obviously, his actions, like we just talked about, there's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. And I don't think he always does things the right way. That being said, he's won a lot of football games. And he recruits extremely well
This is now his
at
10th loss.
really important positions.
10th loss in 6 years. Four of those coming to Michigan. Interestingly enough.
Which is
We've
hilarious.
talked about this on the pod. We do the whole history lesson on these teams for a reason, to paint the picture of what a coaching tenure looks like. What success looks like over a period of time. And a lot of teams find massive success in national titles and then have sustained success, which maybe doesn't meet those expectations of national titles, but still success in that, in the fact that you're winning 10 games, 9 games, 8 games, whatever it may be, every year. Ohio State wins 10 games every year and they're talking about firing their coach. And this kind of falls into my philosophy of don't fall for the trap. If you guys want to become Florida State or Nebraska, go fire Matt Ryan Day. Go do it. Go risk that. Sure. But if you keep them, I can guarantee you'll win 10 games next year. So, pick your poison. Are you going to risk it for a natty, or are you going to risk becoming the next Florida State, UCLA, Nebraska? Just irrelevant
We're just
programs
gonna hire
trying to get
Fran
back.
Brown.
Does Fran Brown fix the problems that they have? Does he? I don't, does he? They have all the talent in the world. He might, sure. But does Ohio State hire him? They're talking about Mike Vrabel, Urban Meyer. They're not even talking about Fran Brown. They're not smart enough to do that.
Saban.
There's no way Saban comes back. There's no way.
Who would be the
Urban
would
could.
McAfee would McAfee be the funniest option?
Pat McAfee. No, he just can't. Just can't. This just wouldn't happen. No way. I don't think he wants to do that.
No, no
I
shot.
don't think you can give him $30 million to do that. I don't think he wants that.
No, heavens no, he's making way too much money.
Yeah, it's
No, I'm just
exactly.
saying who would be the funniest option? I'm not saying he would
Tom
actually do
Allen,
it.
obviously, would be the funniest. Anyone who hires Tom Allen would be the funniest option for us. They just promote Brian Hartline. That would be pretty funny. That would be good.
That would be funny.
That would be great. Because I don't think that fixes anything. I think it makes things worse. But yeah, go ahead and fire your 10 win a season coach. Go do it, please. Please, Ohio State. Please fire Ryan Day. I'm begging you. Do it. That's just gonna
What if
open
they
the
hire
door. That's
Walters?
just gonna open the door for another, for a team like Purdue, maybe, to sneak their way in into relevancy. Oh, Ohio State is a winnable game now. Oh, what do you know? We can go bowling now. Great. Like the idea of firing Ryan Day is just so ludicrous to me because we go through all these things and we see time and time again these teams that like Nebraska, Michigan State, that fire their winning coach and fall into irrelevancy because they think the grass is always greener on the other side when it's not. How about stick with what you have and just figure out a way to beat Michigan? You lost the game. Like it wasn't like it was a blowout. That was a winnable game. And the players who didn't step up and didn't show enough fight during the game, decided to take it, after the game for whatever reason, after playing the flag, which kind of leads us to another topic
Well,
for another
that, I
time, but.
mean, that's, well, no, I think that's almost in the same conversation. It's like you look at the control slash respect he has from his players, it's like it's not much. You can't, there was a quote from one of the Michigan guys. It's like that team needs to learn how to lose.
Khalil
And it's
Stallings.
like, yeah, hilarious coming from an opposing player, but it's like he's right. He's like, they had 60 minutes, a full football game, to figure out how to stop Michigan from doing exactly what they did, and they didn't.
They didn't do it. They're sore losers. It was pretty
So tough
embarrassing,
shit.
mostly from Ohio. I think anyone with a brain, like obviously Klatt and Gus Johnson were saying both sides are bad, and that's what you're supposed to say when you're on TV, I'm not gonna blame them for saying that. They were treating it like it was Chernobyl and that Michigan was totally in the wrong there, which is kind of ridiculous. Like, you're allowed to plant a flag at the middle of the field. Like, I literally watched USC do the same thing at UCLA the previous week because UCLA did that at USC the year before, and guess what? Both teams took it with pride, like took it with class and didn't fucking fight. They fight during the game like a real rivalry. They actually, they'll
Well,
throw punches during the game, but after the game, when the fat lady sings, like that game is over and there's nothing you could do about it. So just accept it.
especially when you have your team leaders like Will Howard doing the things he was doing last week, like in mocking Indiana and mocking SIG, and like, yeah, you win the game, that's your right, but
Yeah.
I guess how you win is how you lose, right? You win without class, you lose without class, and so, but that's a direct reflection on the coach. So is that a problem within itself, and is it worth taking half a step back to fix what could be a culture issue at Ohio State? I don't know.
Like going into this year, obviously we're all in on SIG and we have a great culture and things like that. But like, if you had asked me 2 years ago, you win 10 games every year, but you have a culture issue and something, and you lose your rival a good bit. But you win 10 games every year and go to the playoff most years. Like, you're gonna take that as a fan every time. But yeah, please go ahead, fire Ryan Day. Go do it, Ohio State. Yeah. Go ahead. Sure. No problem by me. Yeah, maybe he could be Indiana's OC one day. That'd be sick, by the way. That'd be awesome. Yeah, that's enough of Michigan, Ohio State, I guess. And then since that game happened, there's a little bit, if Maryland beat Penn State, Indiana would be in the Big Ten title game. And before you know it, Penn State fumbles on the first play of the game, and then the next play, MJ Morris throws a deep ball to Ty Felton. All of a sudden, Maryland's up 7-0. I'm jumping up and down. I'm like, holy shit, we're gonna go to the Big Ten championship game. And then, like the Indiana Michigan State game, Penn State rattles off 44 unanswered and
Whooped them.
scores with their threes and fours, which I don't think Loxley had any right to be mad about that. I think James Franklin said it
No.
best. Yeah, I'm gonna put my threes and fours in there, and guess what? They work hard. They deserve to play football. They earned that right.
I agree.
We're gonna throw it.
It's not disrespect. You show up for a football game, like it's not disrespectful to play the football game.
Yeah, it's 60 minutes, guys. 60 minutes. Don't you, as a coach, preach 60 minutes of football?
Put on chew clock if you don't like.
Yeah, like literally, like figure it out, and
Like
that.
it's frustration, but don't blame the other person for just being better than you were.
Yeah. Will Loxley might need a little more heat, but he's probably going to stick around in Maryland for another year. Brings us to my dog of the week, USC. It was close for a little bit, and then they threw two. USC plus 7.5 was one of the worst beats of the weekend. They were within a touchdown. They were driving. They throw two straight red zone pick sixes. Two straight.
Sound like me in college football.
It's like NCAA football. Like it was ridiculous. And yeah, Notre Dame looks really good. Excited to see where they draw. They're looking at the five seed. They're gonna be playing the Big 12 and Mountain West champs in their bracket on their path for a semifinal.
Boise State.
All of a sudden. Now, do I think Notre Dame's going to be able to walk over Boise State and Arizona State or Iowa State now. But it's a pretty good path for him. Pretty decent. Of any of the teams I want to see in that path at the five seed, it's Notre Dame, because I think that'd be the most fun. Those would be the best games to watch. Boise State, Notre Dame, or and then maybe Notre Dame versus Arizona State or whatever it may be. Maybe Notre Dame loses. Like, they could totally lose those games.
Yeah, they lost to NIU. People forget.
Yeah, totally doable. So I'll be excited to see. They're a lock for the playoff. Congrats to Notre Dame. USC has a lot of problems. I love watching Lincoln Riley post game videos because he doesn't know how to handle losses right now. He just has a bunch of coach speak, like, we have a lot to build on, things, yada yada yada, things like that. Really proud of the seniors, and they've really laid the groundwork, things like that. And it's like, dude, you've gone from 11 wins to 8 wins to now 6 wins.
Yeah, and you're the head coach at Southern California.
Yeah, USC is not happy with you right now. They are not. Southern Cal.
Speaking of Southern California,
Speak,
speaking of Southern
speaking of
California.
Southern California, be sure to check out SoCalHotSauce.com. That's SoCalHotSauce.com. No spaces because it's a website, obviously. You can order anything above a 4-pack is going to be free shipping. So I highly recommend getting the 4-pack or a case at least. Get multiple 4-packs. I'm actually planning on buying for my holiday shopping coming up in the future. I'm gonna be firing away on these hot sauce orders. And yeah, my favorite is the hot avocado, but I'd recommend just going with the, if you're gonna start off, get the 4-pack. Get all 4 flavors. You got hot avocado, original avocado, red hot, which is very hot, by the way. Very hot. And then the original red, obviously. Be sure to get your orders in. Use promo code SIGSINSIDE. That's 2 words, SIGSINSIDE, for 10% off on top of the free shipping that you're already going to get when you order more than a 4-pack. So be sure to make sure you knock that out. So make sure to get the taste of my home. I actually really love, I've mentioned this before, I put it on salmon. You put it on Chipotle. You can put it on, your breakfast morning skillet on Hoosier game days, things like that. It's good stuff. So SoCalHotSauce.com, promo code SIGS inside, 2 words, SIGS inside. And yeah, back, that brings us to, yeah, that was the SoCal hot sauce game of the week.
That was the SoCal Hot Sauce game of the week, and it was a lot better of a game than I thought it was going to be.
USC is doing good
USC,
things. They're trending
they're
up.
frisky,
But like, that's
kind
not
of.
where USC wants to be. They don't want to be frisky
No.
in the Big Ten. They want to win the Big Ten.
USC thought they were going to be Indiana, and it turns out they're USC.
Which brings us to the Illinois State Championship. Illinois went on the road to Northwestern this weekend, won 38-28. They are now 9-3 with a chance to win 10 games as they basically clinched their spot in the Citrus Bowl, which is pretty exciting for
Well,
them.
why can't they be one of these? How come they can't be one of the last teams in?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Stack their resume next to Alabama's. What does it look like?
Probably much less strength of record, strength of schedule, things like that. They did beat Kansas. If Kansas was better, we'd be talking about Illinois probably a lot better. Like, if Kansas was in the Big 12 championship, like they probably should be.
Well, no, I don't like using that argument because you could use that argument for Indiana. Like, oh, if Nebraska was better than Indiana's schedule. But you know what I'm saying? It's like,
Yeah, but
like,
Indiana's not
Nebraska
nine and
was.
three. They're 11-1.
That's fair.
If Indiana was 9-3, we'd be out. Sorry to break it.
Yeah. Depends on who those losses were.
Yeah,
But yeah,
for
probably.
sure. Yeah, and then biggest rivalry of the weekend, Rutgers at Michigan State. Michigan State did pull it off like we thought they would. They're not going bowling in their first year. Would have made it a great year for Jonathan Smith. 5-7, definitely hit their win total over going into the year. So I guess that's a success. Obviously, you look to go for a bowl game in your first year. That's a good sign of things to come. Yeah, Rutgers 7-5. Look at them go. Big win, 41-14, your final. And then UCLA knocked off Fresno State 20-13. That is UCLA's first win against Fresno State since the year 2000. Fresno State had won four straight prior to that. Fun fact.
That's crazy.
Deshaun Foster turning things around. I will say that most of those Fresno State wins came on UCLA down years. All of them actually did. That one year.
We'll have to check the tape on that.
The Jake Haner year was actually a good UCLA team, but Fresno State was also very good that year and would probably be in contention for a playoff spot if there was 12 teams that year. Don't fact check me on that. But yeah, UCLA turning things around, 5-7, trending up. That's all I got from the Big Ten. Yeah, national recap. What we got? A lot of flag planting going on. What's your take on flag planting?
I'm not a huge fan of it. I think winning the game is enough.
Yeah.
But I think if you win the game, you earn the right to taunt, especially in a rivalry game. I think if you, it's funny because I'm gonna.
Baker Mayfield started this whole weekend that we just watched.
I think if you want to like talk your shit, you can talk your shit. But I think if then you can't get mad when somebody like reacts to it. Like, I guess I really don't have a huge issue with how Ohio State handled that, because like, what are you going to do? Let them plant the flag in your field? Like, no, you go defend it. So it's like, I don't know. I don't like, I personally am not a huge fan of it, because I just like letting the play on the field do the talking. But yeah, I mean, when X leads to Y, you got to handle business.
Yeah, you have 60 minutes to prevent the flag planting from happening, is kind of my take on it. So
yeah, but I can see, like, if you're still there,
I get it. Like, if someone planted a flag on my field, I'd probably go and fight too. Like, I'd be pissed. I don't blame Jack Sawyer or any of those guys.
Like, obviously it's a little different. Like, if somebody at Purdue, like, ran after getting whooped by 66, like, ran to plant the flag on the IU symbol on the turf, which it wouldn't really be possible, and everyone in Indiana, they probably just stare at them. But if they happened to have lost that game and there was a ton of Indiana players there and they just let those guys do it, I'd be like, do you guys even care? So, even though, like, in my head, I'm like, probably don't engage because that's just the adult thing to do. But it's kind of like a fine line.
Yeah. I'm going to use the example of the UCLA-SC rivalry, a real rivalry where they hate each other. I've seen a lot of fights during the games over the years. And it's been two straight years of a different team flag planting on the road. And no fights after the game. Because they accept the loss. And they'll be like, hey, see you next year. Be ready. It's not that they don't care. I know I've had good insight into the UCLA program as of late. That the players do really care. And they do really love the staff. Doesn't mean that just because they didn't fight Woody Marks for playing the flag in center in the middle of the field means they don't care. I don't think that's the vibe at all.
But you could see how that could be the perception.
I could see it. I could see. I understand. Yes. I don't think that's the case, though. I think there's losing with grace. Obviously, there's winning with grace as well. But in a rivalry, you don't really want to win with grace. You want to talk your shit. You want to go crazy. But yeah, I guess we could talk a little bit of playoff before we wrap up this episode.
Well, do you want to talk about conference title games specifically?
Yeah, we do. We do need to preview that. Unless we're going to do it this week.
No, let's do that this week. I was going to say, how do you think the committee treats a conference title game loss?
Well, in this juncture, I know you're alluding to the SEC and the Big Ten right now. Probably won't affect them that much. I would say the losers are probably hosting playoff games, I would say.
No, honestly, I'm really more so alluding to the ACC.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, it depends. Like, if Clemson loses, they're out.
But what happens if SMU loses? Or, like, what happens if, like, Texas loses?
Then they're Texas loses, they're hosting a playoff game. If SMU loses, if SMU loses, Clemson's
in. Or actually, the better question would be, what happens if Georgia loses? Because they earned the right to play for the SEC championship, but they lost. So do you get penalized for losing the extra game, or do you get points for even reaching the extra
game? I think you should get points for reaching the game. We've talked about this before. I think Georgia and Texas are locks. I have them as locks in our notes here in our game preview. I think there's 8 locks right now. Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State, Indiana, Notre Dame, and then the 3 SEC teams, Georgia, Texas, Tennessee. Those are locks.
So you think you don't think playing for the ACC championship locks you into a playoff spot?
No.
What, or the
not for Clemson.
So you have to win it.
Not for Clemson. SMU is close to a lock. It's we'll see where they're ranked going to the on when it's announced on Tuesday, right? We'll see. From what I'm noticing from how they're ranking things, it's likely that it's going to be a toss-up for that last spot. I mentioned the locks earlier, so then you have your Big 12 champ, ACC champ, Mountain West champ, and then it comes down to ACC runner-up SMU. Miami, in that case, Miami's out. SMU has to be in over Miami, 100%. So, like, Miami's basically out. But I'd still put them on the bubble. You never know where they're going to be ranked on Tuesday. We just don't know. They shouldn't be in the picture, though. And then it comes down to, are you going to put in 2-loss ACC runner-up SMU, or are you going to put in a 3-loss SEC team? And by that, I mean Alabama or South Carolina. I think Ole Miss is out. I know people are keeping talking about Ole Miss. They're out. They're done. Personally,
yeah, I agree.
Personally, I think it comes down to South Carolina or runner-up SMU if Clemson wins. Obviously, if Clemson loses, SMU's in. And then it's a 3-loss SEC team. I would put in South Carolina. They've been the hottest team. They got screwed over in that they got screwed over in that LSU game. Do I think they're as good as people are saying? No. Do I think they're deserving of making the playoff if SMU beats Clemson? Yes.
Could Sellers win the Heisman?
No.
Wouldn't it strengthen their case if Clemson beats SMU?
It would, but then they're up against SMU, who's 11-2, ACC runner-up, against 9-3 South Carolina, who didn't make their conference title game. In a conference that had Georgia Tech take, you know, Georgia on the ropes on the road.
Yeah, but Georgia's not the best team in that conference this year. And
they might be if they win. if they win the championship, they would be crowned. God. It's complicated, man.
What a disaster for the woke soft Eastern Conference. It's tough.
It is tough. Yeah, but
That is tough.
I think Alabama should be out. 2 horrible losses. They did beat Georgia. And then they lost a good loss to Tennessee.
I'll ask you plainly. Can Indiana climb? Or do you think they're capped?
If SMU...
They came in at 9 on
so
both holes.
Their path to hosting a playoff game at this point, because I'm anticipating they'll be 9, which puts them at a 10 seed. So they'll need 2 teams to lose. And probably that would be Georgia losing. And they probably need Penn State to lose. I don't know if that would matter as much, but Penn State losing, Georgia losing, and then SMU losing would probably get them over to that point, and then they have a shot at hosting a playoff game at that point. I don't even know even then if they're hosting one.
So you think the committee is going to negatively value a conference title loss?
Yeah, based on history, yes. Do I agree with that?
Interesting.
No. I think there's a world where, like, in Clemson's case, like, they're not in right now going into the ACC title game. So if they lose, they're out. Like, right? But, like, I guess I
100%.
agree with the sentiment of, like, okay, SMU's in, they lose their conference title game, Clemson's in, they should also be in. I agree with that 100%. I think that'd make a clean cut 12 team field if that result were to happen. If Clemson beats SMU, I think both those teams should be in over any three loss SEC team. Now, if Clemson loses, throw in South Carolina is kind of where I'm at.
And South Carolina just beat Clemson.
Yes. Which is why it's so
It's hard for me to
complicated.
argue with that.
Which is kind of crazy. Clemson can win that game and they beat SMU. And then you put an SMU team that just lost to Clemson over a team that just beat Clemson a week ago. It's crazy. But that's in terms of,
That's why
and
they
that's
get paid to be
where,
in that room.
and that's why I'm not in the room to make that call. Because it's like it really does come down to SMU or South Carolina in that scenario. But I think it would make it more clean cut if Clemson were to win, just keep SMU in. Don't knock them for, going all the way, running the table with their only loss coming to BYU, where Kevin Jennings didn't even play in that game. It was Preston Stone. Now, if Quinn Ewers snaps his leg in the Georgia game, that could open up a
Hey,
spot.
oh.
I'm just saying, for example, like if a quarterback gets hurt, I'm sorry, I used pretty aggressive language there. If a quarterback gets hurt out for the year, what do we do then? That's what I'm curious to see as well, if that does happen.
Well, yeah, if you're gonna fall back on precedent, that team gets removed as
Yes.
long as they can't compete. But if they just deem that, like, in that scenario, that Arch is good enough, then they'll just keep rolling.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily talking about even Texas here. Like, if Carson Beck goes down,
No.
Aller goes down.
In a 12-team playoff, I think you can afford to be a little bit more lenient. Like, what was Florida State ranked? Like, five or
They
six?
were ranked
Like,
five, yeah.
they would have been in. It wasn't like they were dropped too far. They were just dropped out of that top four. So I don't think if a team on the bubble, like, I know, like, that 12th team on, like, on the fence there, then you're probably having some issues. Which is probably why you had a bunch of Indiana fans getting a little bit nervous that Rourke was in the game so long, but he was very safe.
A little bit nervous, tad
I
nervous.
wasn't, to be honest. They were executing at such a high level, he
Yeah,
wasn't getting touched.
agreed. You want to run through the conference champ slate?
Do you want to do that right now, or did you want to do it later in the week?
I mean, at this point, that's all we have to do for the rest of the week, so we just knock it out right now.
No, I want to do two pods this week.
You want to do two pods? A quick conference
Yeah,
preview pod later this week.
Yeah, I think it's important. And we're also going to get a chance to break down the college football playoff rankings that are going to come out on Tuesday.
100%. So that can continue our conversation that we had today. 100%.
Yeah.
You can follow Sigs Inside at Indiana Football Podcast. I beat Keezer to the outro on Twitter at
You
Sigs
did.
Inside Pod. It's like a competition every week. You can follow myself at Bradley underscore Loomis 8 on Twitter. You can follow Keezer at Alec Keezer and check out Key Sports Network. Also, check out his work he's been doing on Hoosier Huddle. He's been dropping a lot of good content there. Everyone who's listened to this pod most likely knows Hoosier Huddle. Shout out the boys Wave, Nick Skrill, and Signar. They're our friends and collaborators behind the music for our show. Our intro song is 1621, and our outro song is Butter Symphony. So let us take it away. Go Hoosiers. We're in. We're in the playoff. We're locks. Everyone agrees.
The bucket's home.
The bucket's home. And yeah.
It's all, yeah, we're all, it's.
I'm excited for this. We've got, we got rankings to preview, and we got.
Oh my God, wait, I almost forgot. Yeah, the here's the whole advantage for Indiana this week. The coaches get to spend it all on the road and take all the momentum that they just built.
We could have waited till next episode to say that. We're recruiting this week. We're going to get some good pieces. Winnie Watkins on the way.
Hum, babe. Should I go check that out? I'm not that far away from Winnie.
Yeah, go knock on his door. Pitch it.
Hoo, hoo, hoo.
Hoosiers. Take us away, Butter Symphony.